Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
And Jesus asked him a question. He said, why are you not healed yet? Isaiah explained it. Because these people are wicked. They got inside and left me by the pool. And Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? He said, yes. Jesus said, rise up, take up your bed and go home. Now listen, it was so easy. The guy stood up, took up his bed. He did not get into the water. He went home free from every sickness and every disease. It is from that part of scripture that I learned that words are powerful. You know, Jesus is a prototype for every human being. He is a standard for all humanity. He is the way your life is supposed to be. The Bible calls Him the way, the truth, and what? The life. Meaning whatever you see in Jesus, the Bible likens Jesus, calls Jesus in 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible says Jesus is the second man, the second Adam. He came to make sure that what the first Adam missed, because the first Adam was our mirror until Jesus came. Now are you listening? The first Adam was our mirror until Jesus came as the second Adam to complement the first Adam. Are you listening? Adam lost his authority to the devil. Now Jesus came as the second Adam to make us understand that the authority has been restored. He is a standard for humanity right now. Adam is not the standard. Are you all listening to me tonight? Now if Jesus spoke like that and somebody got healed, it simply means that as a child of God, you can speak like that and things will change. Words are powerful. The Bible says the words that we speak are what? Spirit. And their life. It took words to create the whole world in the beginning. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Anything God spoke came into existence. Hallelujah to Jesus. And after God did everything in the beginning, the Bible said in 1:26 of Genesis, let's see it briefly. Genesis 1:26, the Bible says, very fast media, Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Then He said, let man and woman, that is Adam and Eve. He said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over what? All. Somebody say all. Over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You know, I joke with this part a lot. I said, God has given you even dominion over creeps. Hallelujah to Jesus. He said, we have dominion over all the earth, not some part of the earth. All the earth. And to prove the dominion, He said, Adam, name the animals. In Hebrew, whatever you name, you have authority over. The Bible says, whatever name Adam gave the animals were their names. One word for authority. You know, in the next part of script, in this part of scripture, the word dominion. One word for the word dominion in the Hebrew interpretation is stewardship. Stewardship, meaning God wanted to reign on the earth through Adam. A steward is somebody who is more like a loyalist. You do things through that person. Now, if I want to get things done in a certain place, I can send Donald, for instance, and he would do it exactly the way I want it to be done. If I was there, the way he would do it is the way I would have done it. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? In other words, God told Adam, gave authority to Adam exactly what he would have done if he was on the earth as Adam. Are you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? So I will say you have authority. It doesn't mean that you do your mind. You do the will of God upon the face of the earth. For instance, God doesn't want you sick. Are you listening to me? And He said in His word in Isaiah 53, He said, by His stripes we were made going to be made whole. By his stripes we were made. We were already made whole by his stripes. All our sicknesses have been paid for. So if you truly understand the will of God in that aspect of sickness, you don't say, I'm going to be healed. If you say, I'm going to be healed, then you are not speaking what God has said in his word. You are wrong. You don't say, I'm going to be healed. You say, by his stripes, you'll be made whole. You say, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus. And if sickness seems to be knocking the door of your heart, your life, what's getting to your life, you declare, I can't be sick. Because I've been made whole. Many years ago. Are you listening to me? Listen, when you begin to talk like God, you become a problem to humanity. You become a problem to normal human beings. Do you get what I'm trying to say? The Bible said Jesus, in book of Luke 8, I guess, when he was going to the house of Jairus, can I remember? The lady who was dead, when they came to give Jesus a report, they said she was dead. As they were saying it, Jesus told them to stop. Don't say those things. Don't say the wrong things. Don't say it. He followed them to the house. He said, she's not dead. She's sleeping. Faith has a language. That's why sometimes you see people who are sick, they say, I feel very strong. They don't want to agree that they are sick. Are you listening to me? I woke up this morning, they said my daughter's temperature was rising. I said, no, it's perfect. Where is he rising to? Glory to God. Glory. And I declared it's perfect. And I said, bring her to church because it's perfect. Yes, sir. Glory to God. Glory. Why? Because I've said it. Somebody said, why is it perfect? She feels so hot. It's perfect because I said it is perfect. Oh, glory to God. It is perfect because I said so. Not because it's seeming imperfect. Let me see if I can remember that part of scripture. I don't know if anybody can remind me. I didn't really plan for that, but can you remember? I think Mark 11 from verse 21. Mark 11 from verse 21. Let's see from verse 20. I'm sure many of you know this story. From verse 19. I want to see where Jesus spoke. Alright. 18. Next part of scripture. 19. Now, when evening had come, he went out of the city. Next part of scripture. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. Now, Jesus had said that the fig tree should dry up. He had declared before. Can you remember the story? Yes, trying to find the part where he spoke, but because of time. They were passing a fig tree, and I really don't know how to explain this. Jesus wanted something from that tree. He was expecting something. It was time. Huh? Verse 13, okay. 18. For some people that have not read it before, you know, amazingly, there are people that have not seen this part of scripture before. Yes, they said verse 13. It says, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would what? Find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but what? Leaves. For it was not the season for figs. I don't know how to explain this, but Jesus blew my mind here. Next part of scripture. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Well, Jesus is Lord. It was no season for it to produce. But Jesus was expecting to eat something. You see that? See the expectation. In other words, if you truly think like Jesus, it may not be the right season for something to find expression, but you can demand it. It says, in response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat from, so if I did not eat, nobody should eat from you again. And it's it. They heard it. Next part of scripture. So they came to Jerusalem and they went to the temple and began to drive out blah 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 blah. People were doing bazaar. Sorry, people were selling things and they were driving them away. Now go to verse 19. This is another story. After they finished driving people away and he said his house is not a den of thieves, talk and sickness will go. You didn't know who you were while you were talking anyhow. You can't be saying God will punish your mother, God will punish your father. Then the next time, in the name of Jesus, sickness go. No, you didn't know who you were. Sickness will not, Satan will not listen to somebody who speaks like him. If you truly know who you were, you would have not insulted anybody. Because imagine that all the things you said happened. You bastard, you stupid animal, you nincompoop. Imagine the person is turning in the direction of everything you are saying. Then later on you say, in the name of Jesus, sickness, bow. Sickness will not listen to you. It will ask you, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who you be? Because the way you were speaking, you identify more with demons than with angels. And the Bible never said that the mention of the name of Jesus. If you saw it in any translation, it was wrongly translated. In the original, the Bible said, especially in the old KJV, the Bible said, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Meaning, if you are in the office of Jesus, they listen to you. Principalities and powers will listen to you. If you occupy the office. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? The VC of BSU can, from any part of the world, give an instruction that will happen in BSU. For instance, the governor of Benue State can give an instruction that must happen in Benue State from any part of the world. Because he is in the office, even though he's not in his physical office at that moment, he is in the office of the governor at the moment. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And everything will respond to his word. So if you've been living wrongly, it is a proof that you don't understand the office that you operate in as a Christian. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. And all of a sudden you don't expect yourself to say things and they come to pass. No. You ought to be. If you truly understand you are in the office, you have a track record of living right and speaking rightly. Are you listening to me tonight? The Bible says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Do you know that when Jesus said it, nothing happened to the fig tree? There was no any proof that it would dry up. It was still normal. He said, nobody will eat from you again, blah, 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 because I did not eat. And he left. And I'm sure they were wondering, what is Jesus saying? What's our master saying? Hallelujah to Jesus. Listen, if you are sleeping, there's a demon that makes people to sleep. Be very careful. Sometimes we joke about it, but people don't know that it's demons that make people sleep on a Sunday morning. Are you listening to me? Don't allow it. The Lord opened my eyes years ago. I knew there is a demon. On a Sunday morning, you are sleeping in church. It's a demon. When you leave here, you will not see sleep again. Watch and see. You can even watch seasonal movie after the service. You know, sometimes when we're in church, you see somebody dressed with suit and tie, and it's like, it's a devil. Satan does not want you to hear these things at all. I've seen two people doing like this. And sometimes I'm wondering what I'm teaching is not powerful. What I'm teaching is so powerful as somebody is. It's a demon. Familiar spirit. You know when you talk about bloodline demons, that you will go and be shouting, die, die, die. This is how it operates. If it doesn't want you to break the chain in the family, it will cause you to be sleeping in church so that you don't hear the word. Because many people think deliverance is when they put hand on their head alone and they are turning 360. The Bible says Jesus preached deliverance to the oppressed. I believe true deliverance is not just limited to laying hands. That there's a place for that. You can lay hands and say, in the name of Jesus, demon, go outside. But you see, if the demon leaves and nothing happens to this vessel, the demon will still come back. Because nothing has truly happened to the vessel. But if we speak God's word, you'll be translated from the kingdom of darkness into what? God's marvelous light. You've become another vessel. The demon left and the vessel has been changed. If the demon comes back, Jesus said, the demon will not recognize that house again. And it will go away. But if the demon comes back and finds out that the house is the same, the only difference is that nobody is in the house, it will bring seven other demons. Are you listening to me? So true deliverance is preached. Jesus preached deliverance to the oppressed. Listen. All these things about bloodline that people use, it's not like they don't exist. They exist. But the reason why we will never stop hearing them in the church is because people are trying to use the wrong prescriptions to take them out. Something may have been happening in your family. You don't take it out by just laying hands on somebody and say, you demon, leave. If nothing happens to the mind of that person, the demon will come back. Because the battlefield in the realm of the spirit is your mind. Anything that happens in your mind takes a hold of your life. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his, so is he. 3 John 2 says, a man never makes progress beyond the prosperity of his mind. You can never be better than how you think. The limit of your life is the limit of your thinking. Are you listening to me? Your thinking limits your life. Hallelujah to Jesus. So when Jesus said, dry up, they never believed it. All of a sudden, they found out that the fig tree dried up from the roots. Glory to God. Now Jesus didn't wait and say, you must dry up now as I'm talking to you. Try, 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 try. No, he spoke and he left. Now, I believe, you know, one time I was listening to Kenneth Hagin. He said, there was somebody who had a serious spirit of infirmity. I mean, in terms of, you know, madness. The person was behaving like he was mentally ill. Of course, that person was mentally ill. And Kenneth Hagin came to him. You know, Pastor Kenneth Hagin of blessed memory. He came to him and he laid hands and said, in the name of Jesus, be well. And the next day he came, the same guy was misbehaving. No change. He didn't go there and say, in the name of Jesus, I say, be well. He didn't do that. He went to the person. They brought the person again. He said, I declared you are well yesterday. Thank God you're going to be well. And he left. The third day he came back, the person was still misbehaving. He said, thank God you're going to be well. And he left. Guess what? The next day they came for service. The guy was seated in the front. He was sound. Are you listening to me? In the realm of the spirit, things must happen orderly. You can't say, in the name of Jesus, my pains are over from my body. Go in Jesus' gracious name. Hallelujah. It's gone. Then the next day you feel the pain. Say, go. I said go yesterday. You're not here. Go today. No. You didn't know what you said yesterday. In fact, you don't know who you are. Are you listening to me? Let me show you what the Bible said in an Old Testament book. Hallelujah. I think Micah 4. Oh, glory to God forevermore. Are you here? I must give you that scripture. Right. 4:9. 4:9. Let's read together. Now, why do you what? Is there no what? Has your what? For what? The first part again. Let's read. Everybody read out loud. One, two, go. Now, why do you cry? It's like, why are you crying anyhow? Why are you crying like you're in trouble? Is there no king in your midst? Painting a picture to us that if you truly have a king, and now in the Old Testament he's saying, if there's really a king, you people should not be crying because everything is going to be okay. The king was not on their inside in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. But for us, the king is in us. Are you listening to me? We don't cry like beggars. We are Christians. The king lives in us. The king lives in us. Many people don't talk like Christians. They don't. A lot of times because they tried something and it didn't work probably. And they gave up on the word of God. If you really check, you did not apply the word of God rightly. That is why it didn't happen. God is always true. It is our experience that is always a lie. The Bible says his word never returns to him void. It must accomplish what he says. Scripture speaking says, if a man desires mastery, yet the man is not crowned, he should strive how? Lawfully. Wrong applications, you will never see the right manifestation. I said Jesus is a sample son to humanity, isn't it? The sample of sonship. He's a model and the way we ought to live. Glory to God. And anytime you speak the word of God rightly, God is the one doing the work. John 14:20. The next part of scripture. John 14:10, sorry. Let's read together. One, two, go. Do you not believe that I am the Father, and the Father, the words that I what? I do not what? But the Father who what? He does what? The works. We speak the word, the Father what? Does the work. Of course, probably not directly with all of his asanas. He can through angels do the work. Are you listening to me? As we speak the word of God, things are happening. Our own part of the equation is to speak the word in faith and allow God to move. Matthew 17:20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a what? Mustard seed. You will what? Move from what? And it will what? And nothing will be what? Impossible for you. He said, if you have faith as a petition, but it's not all. I began to see that it is quite different. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain. You will say. Now, if the Bible solely accurately just means that, if the interpretation of this part of scripture is that if your faith is as small as a mustard seed and you are able to say and things will happen, then the Bible will not say, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain. Because if your faith is small, you truly cannot talk. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? If your faith is small, you truly cannot talk. But you see, mustard seed is very small. Yet it goes through every situation on the ground and finds expression and becomes the biggest tree in the garden. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? In other words, God is saying that if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can go through any situation. You can, beyond any situation, speak God's word. God is actually speaking about the wonderful characteristics of the mustard seed. That I'm sure if you go and study, you will see a lot of beautiful factors there. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? The fact that you can in any situation have the impetus to say something and things will begin to happen. It is small, but it goes through any limitation on the ground and finds expression on the earth and becomes the biggest tree. Are you listening to me? So based on the characteristics of a mustard seed, the ability to go through any season, God is like, this is how faith should be. This is how a Christian should be. He should, beyond any situation, speak God's word. Not speak the details, because the devil probably is in the details. Are you listening to me? Did you get what I just said? Right now you are feeling pain. Don't speak pain. Speak God's word. The Bible says, call the things which are not as though they were. Are you listening to me? Speak the results. In the name of Jesus, I'm made whole. Because I'm talking, some people are wondering, is that how it works? That's how it works. If you look at me, who do I know in this world? But I've never lost a battle. Who do I know in this world? People have tried to, you know, with our land issue, they try to steal our land. I did not know anybody. I was sending words. And things were happening. Hallelujah to Jesus. I did not know nobody. I was only sending words in the name of Jesus. I send words in the realm of the spirit. And things begin to happen. Favor begins to come from every part of the world. For my good. Hallelujah to Jesus. You see lack in your life, send words. Many of you have not sent words. How do you expect to see results? Don't just be crying and be coming to church and be sweeping church and be saying my sweeping will speak for me. It's good to sweep church and be faithful to God, but you got to speak. The Bible says we believe and so we speak like our fathers of faith. Are you listening to me? You got to speak God's word. You have to speak it. He said, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. With his mouth what? Unto salvation. You will touch it, not because you just believe it yet. You will touch what salvation has provided when you finally speak. Because speaking is the proof of your faith. Speaking is the affirmation of your faith. Are you listening to me? A lot of people, I can even sense it. They are cold. Cold in their faith. Cold in their walk with God. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, when you speak God's word and it comes into manifestation, he said, your joy will be fulfilled. Your joy will be fulfilled. In other words, there is no joy when you are only seeking God and not seeing the manifestation of his word in your life. You don't enjoy Christianity. Are you listening to me? You know, we're taught via in religion that, you see, as you're serving God, you can die anytime. It's not true. He said, with long life, I will what? Satisfy. God has said it, and so is it. It's settled. But do you know that if you don't insist on God's word, you die young? Like many people have died young. God bless their soul. Doesn't mean they are devils. But you see, your destiny, God has put your destiny in your own hands. I know what I'm telling you. Yes. He has all authority. But he said that anything happening in the on the face of the earth is a function of your believing and your speaking. He said in the book of Joshua 1:8, he said, if you keep on speaking the word of God, meditating on God's word, speaking and believing it, he said, you will make your path what? Prosperous. He said, and you shall have what? Good success. Meaning good success and prosperity is tied to your believing and speaking. How do we get here? Speaking God's word. Believing God's word. How will we get to the top and influence the whole world? Speaking God's word. I was telling somebody, say 5 years from now, Pastor, I think you will be blah, 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 blah. I said, even beyond what you are saying, 5 years from now, we'll be everywhere.
Yes, sir.
I said, because we'll be speaking. We're not just wishing. We'll be speaking God's word and things will be happening for our good.
Yes, sir.
I told him 5 years from now, I'll be in every continent of the world. People will be listening to me. Everywhere. And that's not pride, that's faith. Before Jesus resurrected, he spoke about his resurrection. He said, thou shalt not allow thy Holy One see corruption. Jesus said it. Before he resurrected, he said, I will die and on the third day I will resurrect. I will die and on the third day. He said, the Son of Man will give himself and on the third day he will come back alive. He was saying it. Before David killed Goliath, he said, you this uncircumcised Philistine, I'll pluck off your head. He didn't just say, I'll kill you. David was so small, he spoke God's word. Did Goliath die? Was his head removed?
Yes, sir.
And the other guys, they had sense, they ran away. He said, Goliath, because everybody was scared of Goliath. Even the king was scared. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
everybody was scared of Goliath. One young boy who was a shepherd boy just came from nowhere. And he said, sir, I can deal with this guy for the whole city. And the king was wondering. Then he said, sir, let me tell you my track record. I've killed bears and lions with my bare hands. He said, oh, really? He said, yes. He said, okay, go ahead. Go and deal with the guy. The first thing he said, he joined Goliath's head with God. He said, oh, ye uncircumcised Philistine, that stand before the armies of the Lord. That's what he said. He said, you are uncircumcised. He didn't say Goliath giant. He said, you are uncircumcised. You are not a Christian. You cannot stand Christians. And Goliath was looking at him and smiling and saying all the rubbish he would say. He said, you this guy, I'll just carry you and just cut you. Just open your head like Coke and I'll drink you. David did not stop and say, maybe he can do that. See all of his strength. See all of his soldiers. No. David said, ha ha. You make me laugh. You see, I'm going to pluck off your head and I'll feed it to the birds of the air. Goliath became really interested. Huh? You this thing? He now says, shift. And all those your boys, those touts, those cameramen, he said, I'll make sure that they die like you too. Immediately, David was done dealing with Goliath, removing Goliath's head. All the Goliath's boys, they ran away. Because he already promised that he will finish Goliath and finish his boys. How did David win? He didn't have Moses' words. Somebody's not getting what I'm trying to say. They are thinking that I'm saying something, some fictional things that don't exist. I'm saying the truth of God's word. And so says the Lord, by this time tomorrow, there'll be so much in the land. They'll be buying and selling. The city economy will be perfect. It will shoot up. Say, by this time tomorrow, and one of the persons there, the big man there said, even if God comes down, this thing you are saying cannot work. The word of God. Not just normal words. The word of God. The word of God. Not just normal words. The word of God. Are you hearing me? Some people are like, what the heck is happening here? I mean, Jesus is happening here. It will happen like magic. What is magic if not for God? Is magic important? Hallelujah to Jesus. Amos 9:13. See how the Bible says it. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seeds. The mountain shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall what? It says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader what? The grapes. It will happen so fast. That's what I'm trying to say. Happen what? So fast. Give me verse 14. Let me see something. I'm looking for a power scripture here. You know, there was a situation, a wrong situation, and the prophet was prophesying. And it happened for them so fast. He said, I'll bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vines and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. Words are so powerful. Another part of scriptures, Mark 4:41. Mark 4:41. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be? That even the wind and the sea obey him. He spoke words and everything listened. Firstly, identity. He was sure of who he was. And when he sent words, words got the thing, the job done. Words we get the job done. If you know who you are, if you don't know who you are, it will not happen. I told you, one time my dad was behaving like he was mental. He will eat and the food will pour on his body and things like that. And I've been hearing stories of my village people that they have a lot of powerful witchcraft. And it was suggestive that they were the ones that have done something. You know, anything that happens to people, they say is village people. And for years, my dad didn't want me to go to the village. He said, if I go, they'll kill me. For many years, I didn't go to the village. I don't know why he just had that mentality. Even when I was schooling in BSU, he said, I should never try that. That he knows what happens there. If they catch me, I'm finished. I only went there once when my grandfather died. They say one of his requests is that I must come before he died. So I was not able to reach before he died. So I went for the burial. Hallelujah to Jesus. And he was baby abnormal. I came to that when they called me, I came and I saw him. I didn't understand he was talking one kind. Food that he wanted to eat was poured on his body. And I went back home. I said no word. I got into my room. I lifted up my hands. I began to thank God. And I spoke to him. In the realm of the spirit, there's no time. There's no distance. I said, in the name of Jesus, you spirit of infirmity, leave that body now. And I began to thank the Lord. The next morning, they said, he's sound and perfect. Words we get the job done. It'll get it done. Years ago, I remember somebody came to me after a Tuesday service and said they could not find vein in the body of a child. And the child was terribly sick. And under the anointing, I just shouted, "Wow, we've seen the vein glow with a God." And the lady got confused. Since I said they've not seen any vein. You said they've seen the vein. I said, "Yes, they just found the vein." She said, "Sir, can you pray?" I said, "They just found the vein. Hallelujah." She couldn't respond because she didn't understand what I was saying. I said, "Hallelujah" to her. She said, "Amen." I said, "Go. They just found the vein." True life story. She went out before she got home. I got a lot of messages. "Sir, thank you so much. As I was leaving, I called. They said they just found the vein." I asked them what time. It was when you said they just found the vein. You call the things which are not as though they were. Like they were already existing. Oh, glory to God. I remember that same week, that same month, a woman came to church. Her baby, she was crying that the baby, they said, was not in the head was not in the right place. Some of you remember that testimony, and etc. I said, "Oh, glory, the baby's head is turning now. It's turning now. It's arranging now. It's turning. It's turning. Hallelujah. I see it turning." It was like we're acting movie. Everybody was looking at me in church. "It is turning. It is turning. Hallelujah. It has turned. Glory. Hallelujah." She went on Monday and sent a lot of messages. "The head is normal from the scan. The baby is ready to come out safe." Glory to God. Words will cause get the job done. When you're done praying in tongues and praying in tongues and charging up, if you can't say anything, nothing will happen. Let me tell you what Kenneth Hagin said. He said, I quoted him here because I remembered what he said. He said, "Prayer doesn't move heaven if it's not backed by faith. And faith does not move unless it speaks." He said, "Prayer does not move heaven if it's not backed by faith. And faith does not move unless faith speaks." The faith that works is the faith that speaks. If you believe, you what? You speak. Speaking is the affirmation of your faith. It's a law in the realm of the spirit. That's how it is. You don't question God. That's how he did everything upon the face of the earth. To be controlled by words. If you read the book of Hebrews 1, the Bible says Jesus sustains everything by the words of his power. He sustained the whole universe by the words of his power. If you speak the same words of Jesus, things will be sustained. Things will be arranged. Things will be created. Are you listening to me? My first miracle as a Christian, I will never forget. As a minister of the gospel, I mean, my first miracle that God did through me years ago was a lady who had one of her legs longer than another. I was reading in NDA Barracks in Cantonment C. If you have been to NDA Barracks before, there's a school they call Cantonment C. I was reading for JAM because I was doing Remedias, and I met her in Remedias, and we came back to write JAM. So I was reading in that class for JAM when the presence of God came so strong in the class, and I sensed as if there were angels around me. I could feel it so strong. And I heard a voice say, "It's the right time to speak God's word." Because she told me about it. But I did not pray because at that time, I felt like I needed to feel the anointing before I speak. And so I called her. She was in Jos. I said, "That your leg. I wanted to go to the back of your house where there is nobody." And she went to the back of the house. I said, "Put the phone on loudspeaker. Keep the phone somewhere because the power of God is up." I was saying it like God told me what to say. I said, "The power of God is about to hit you now. That's your leg. That you got accident and said one is longer than another, blah, 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 blah. The bones are about to be arranged for the leg to be okay." She was just listening. I said, "Keep the phone loudspeaker. Now in the name of Jesus, your legs are perfect. Now, glory to God. Hallelujah." I ended the call. I said, "God, what did I just do?" I'm being 100% sincere. I said, "God, what did I just do? I just disgraced my call at the beginning of the call. Was I trying to be proud? Maybe I would have just kept quiet. God, she has not called back. I'm sure she's wondering what a disgraced man of God I am." Then when she left. She did not call for like 1 hour. My friend now called me. I lost my appetite for reading. So I closed my books. My friend now called me to go and pray for a family. Two of us. We're following Panteka. We're going to Mando. Going through Eye Center. And as we're going, she called. I now put it on normal call, you know, not loudspeaker. I wanted to hear the bad report. Man of God, I'm still at the back of the house. What should I do now? She started shouting, sir. I said, calm down. Is there any problem? Sir, when you just declared, people were drawing my leg. She said, people were drawing her leg. I put the phone on loudspeaker. Do you understand? Yeah. I said, Samuel was with me. I said, Samuel, can you hear this? The boy's name was Samuel, the other man of God. I said, pay attention, please. What did you say happened? What did I do? You told me to go to the back of, you declared once that my leg should be normal. Yes, and when I declared, what happened afterwards? You know how men of God do testimonies. Man of God, when you declare. I highlighted it. I said, when I declared, tell us what happened. She said, people were joined. I said, no, not people. Say angels. She said, sorry, sir. Angels were throwing my legs. I said, yeah, continue. My friend was just looking at me like this and looking at the phone. I said, angels, are your legs normal? He said, yeah, they are very perfect. I'm even trying to learn how to walk normal now. I'm not used to it. I said, hallelujah. And I said to her, that's one of the small things that God can do. I was leveraging on God. Do you understand, friends? Of course, not my own ability, but I was so excited. It boosted up my faith. And when we went to that family, they suffered the consequences of this testimony. We went to the house. The mother came, one old woman, she came out. Everybody came out. And I mean, my goodness. When they brought food, I said, no time for food. We came here for business. Glory to God. And the woman, while she was great, I prophesied a car for her daughter. The daughter came to church. So I said, your mother is going to get away. So she told the mother, and the mother wanted to see me. So while we're there, I said, woman, are you born again? She said, yes. I said, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? She said, no, in our church, we don't pray in tongues. I said, lift up your hands. You're about to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The daughter was watching me. Watching what I want to do to her mother. Everybody in the house were like fire. I said, all of you lift up your head. The power of God is coming upon you. My friend was wondering what was wrong with me. I said, now at the count of three, you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't want to know why they were not praying in tongues. I didn't want to know whether they did not accept the doctrine. I didn't care. But because God drew out somebody's leg, I knew getting them filled was even small. I say in the name of Jesus, take! The mother went to, she ran and held her mother. The mother was on the ground. She was shaking. Everybody, the aunties on the ground. I said, leave her. I was just speaking in tongues. And I said, bring her up again. Take! Bring her up again. Take! Oh, glory. Oh, glory. We refused food that day. We told them we've done what we want. Glory to God. And we moved. I just wanted to be meeting people that day. I wanted to meet anybody. If I met the devil that day, I would have filled him with the Holy Ghost. The anointing was just moving. When I came back to school, she was already telling everybody the testimony. So I had people calling me, sir, baptize me. I was like Simon the Baptizer. In my remedias. We didn't have a ministry. I was just baptizing people in the Holy Ghost. I had not started any ministry. Say, sir, I want to be baptized. Take! Sir, I want to be baptized. Take! One time I had five people come. They want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Lift up your hand. Take! That's how we're doing it. One lady came, my remedial classmate. She said they were supposed to operate her the next day. I said, from what? She said the problem. I said, it's gone. She said, just like that. I said, just like that. Now I was remembering what the Lord did. I said, count your blessing, name them one by one. It what? It will share the anointing on your inside. Because if he did it before, he can do it again. A And when I told the lady it's gone, is it leukemia, whatever, chemia, I can't remember, but it has mia inside. And the operation was the next day. She went to the hospital and they did a test. Doctors are very careful people. They did it again to be sure it was there so that they would start the operation. And they were wondering, are you the lady that was scheduled for an operation? She said, yes. They checked again and again. They couldn't find any trace. No trace. The lady came full of tears. You just said that thing that blah, 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 blah. And they said it's gone. I said, yes. And we hugged. And she was excited. That lady never joked with me till she graduated from Remedios. She's so good with maths. In fact, I learned some maths from her. Wonderful lady. Glory to God. The word of God is the most what? Powerful tool in the world. Jesus said, if you speak to the mountain with no fear in your heart, you are the only limitation. He said, if you speak to the mountain with no fear, no word fear, no word fear, no word fear in your heart, it will obey you. Are you listening to me? It will obey you. Listen, in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, let me show you what they were doing. Some of you are aware. Elijah was not full of the Holy Ghost when he commanded fire to come to the crowd. Elijah was not full of the Holy Ghost. Elisha was not full of the Holy Ghost. Somebody was crying. He borrowed an axe. Are you listening to me? And was using it and it fell into a river. And he was crying that he borrowed it. Elisha was not filled with the Holy Ghost when he said, cry no more. Where did he fall? He threw a stick and the axe came outside. And was floating on water. Breaking Archimedes' principle. Elisha was not full of the Holy Ghost when he did that. Moses was not full of the Holy Ghost when he raised a stick and the Red Sea parted. The Bible says, as if it was dry ground. They did not go like this. They went straight. Bridge created in less than 10 seconds. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to say. And they moved. Moses does not feel the Holy Spirit. You can go and name. Joshua was not full of the Holy Ghost when he said, let the sun stand still. You know, some philosophers are trying to explain that in another way. Listen, the sun stood still. There is nothing in this world that God cannot do. You know, I heard a man of God trying to prove that the sun did not actually stand still. That's not in the original, it did not stand still. It stood still. Joshua, he said that the sun must, it has, what, is it Joshua? He said the sun has to stand still for us to win the war. God said anything for my boys. Anything for my people. And they won. Are you listening to me? What can God not do for you? All the miracles you want, he wants it for you 10 times. More than you want it for yourself. You know, everybody thinks, some people think today that God does not want people rich. God does not want you rich. Look at the Bible. Everybody that served God was very rich. They were very rich. Are you listening to me? Glory to God forevermore. Abraham. Isaac. Jacob. Solomon. Mention one. They were very, not just rich. God told Abraham, he said, leave your father's house. He left. He said, just be going. I'm taking you somewhere. When he went somewhere, God said, stop. This is the place. God, he now stood. God, there are no human beings here. He said, you are the first human being and you create more. You have more children and you start the city. If you read few chapters later, the Bible says, and Abraham became very rich in cattle, in male servants and female servants. Where did they come from? The guy just started his life and people started coming from nowhere and submitting to him. Are you listening to me? And the guy became very, very rich. What of Isaac? He was a son of promise. At a point of his life, he was not having money. He was in with the Philistines. The Bible said in the season when there was famine, the guy knew what was on his head because of what was on his father's head. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? He said, because of what God told my father, and by implication has come to me. Even though there's famine, I will plant. I I would rather settle for irrigation, artificial system of farming. I'll be removing the water from the well, create a system and be watering my plant. And they were laughing at him. That's what the Bible said. The Philistines were laughing at him. Instead of Isaac to cry and say, "Ah, yes, farmer, I know, I'm finished," and started begging, he said, "No, I would rather walk. I know God will bless the one works of my hand." Tell somebody, I can never beg in my life. You see, when there is lack, don't look for a neighbor and uncle to beg. Nobody owes you anything. Walk, knowing that he will bless the one. Isaac began to farm and started watering, and the Bible says in the same season of farming, he harvested many crops. The Philistines were so wild. The Bible says, and he became prosperous. And became what? Prosperous. You read that scripture. He became very prosperous. Isaac sowed in that land and reaped the same year a what? 100-fold, not 50-fold. 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. What did he say? I will bless the works of your. He saw the blessing because he walked. Even though the blessing was on his head as a Christian. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He needed to spark the blessing into manifestation by walking. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the morning. I'm blessed. If you don't get something, God wants responsible people. Are you listening to me? You got to be responsible as a child of God. Next part of scripture. The Bible said, it said, the man began to prosper and continued what? Until he became what? Very prosperous. Very. Very prosperous. Oh my God. When did he sow his seed? In times of famine. When did he farm? In times of what? Famine. Is Nigeria looking tough? Time to learn a skill, brother. It is time to learn a skill. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Forget about Tinubu. Learn a skill. It is time to start investing, sowing the right seeds in your life. It is time to invest in a particular business. Learn that skill now that things are tough. It will take 3 months to learn more skills. Instead of complaining until 3 months, be learning the skills. Why you don't have all the things figured out yet? Be learning for the 3 months. After 3 months, when God sees what you have done, he will bless it. I'm telling you, some of you, as you are finishing that skill, as you are learning that skill and you are finishing, immediately you are finishing, God will hit you with a job. Because he has seen your own side of the faith. You have been faithful. You know, one time I taught you guys, I said, the reason why God blessed that woman, that widow woman, remember? When he told her to carry that small jar of oil and look for gallons, and to be filling those gallons. It's not because of anything. God wanted to show you something. She borrowed all the gallons and were filling the gallons with what? The small jar of oil. She kept on filling. The Bible says as long as there were jars of oil, the oil kept what? Flowing. And I told you, it has a prophetic meaning. It truly happened. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But God is using that to teach us something. That no matter how small the business is, God can bless that business to pay all of your bills. Not some of your bills. All of your bills. As long as there are issues in your life, God will, through that small business. I don't know that you're getting what I'm trying to say. You know, somehow I told one of my friends, I said, I think God just wants us to just start business. It's not because God knows the business will give us money. God just wants us to start business so that he will find a reason to give us a lot of money. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to explain to you. There's a way God will bless you in that business that you will tell people, see, I know I'm doing business, but this money, the way it's coming, is beyond this business. But if the business was not there, the money would not come. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to explain. Because God wants you to have a sense of what? Responsibility. You'll be wondering, am I the only one that is doing this business? Remember Peter? He told Peter, can I use your boat for a moment, sometime? Peter, no problem. You can use it. After it was done, say, Peter, cast your net. He said, I've been trying for money tonight. It's not working. It's not like you are not in that business. You've been doing it, but not under the anointing. You have the same result with everybody in Makodi. If you are doing it without the anointing. Peter was doing that business without the anointing. Are you listening to me? You need the anointing for business. And Jesus said, cast. He said, I've been toiling for money like all my brothers here. We did not catch anything. He said, cast your nets. The guy did not went to the middle of the river to cast his net. He didn't have that privilege at that position where he was. Because for Jesus to stand outside and say, cast your net, he was not so far from the shores. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Where he was, he threw his net. The Bible said Peter did like this. He couldn't believe what was happening. He couldn't draw the net again. He began to call for help. People that were in the middle of the city, I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. The middle of the nation. I'm telling you, people in Abuja were coming to partner with him in Makurdi because he threw the net under the anointing. The word of God is the most powerful tool. He said, cast your net. Immediately he said, cast your net. Fishes began to respond. They began to gather. They began to gather. Say, catch us now. It is time for us to be catched. Because Jesus said what? The master said, cast your net. Cast it. Cast it. You have given me your time. When people were trying to fish, you gave me your boat. Seek first the kingdom. I'm going to show you that I'm God. Cast your net. You didn't waste time. You gave me your boat for some time. Cast your net. Listen to me, people of God. Your serving God is not in vain. He said, I have not called the seed of Jacob to serve me in vain. He said, I'm the one, I'm the rewarder of them that diligently seek me. You've been serving God for a long time. I tell you, it's now time to cast your net prophetically. Tell somebody, cast your net. Peter gave Jesus some of his time. Jesus was stunned. He said, cast your net. I want to recover all the time I use your boat to preach the gospel. Cast your net. Now, some of you have given God your time. Are you listening to me? You have given God your time. And he has used your time to win souls. Now, it's payback time. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you go back home, cast your net under the anointing. What I'm trying to say is that go back to that business with the anointing, with a consciousness of the anointing. You've been doing the business. Go back to the business with a consciousness of the anointing. With these words you've heard, I tell you the truth, the whole week, the whole month, till next year, say these words to yourself. It's time for me to cast my net. I've given God my time. Now it's time for me to cast my net. Thus says the Lord. The Lord just said to us, it is time to cast your net. Cast your net. You're going to have a net breaking, a boat sinking harvest. You need people from other places to come and partner with you. Because the business is going to get so big. Are you listening to me? Oh my God, you're not getting this. It is going to get so big, so big, so big. Are you listening to me? The business is getting so big. Can you feel it? Can you sense it? It's getting so big. Next year. Oh my God. GCM, are you ready? I'm not saying carnally devised fables. I'm not trying to just get you excited. No. I'm speaking under the anointing. You've given God your time. And maybe people have mocked you. While they are trying to do business, you give him your boats to preach the gospel. You give him whatever you have to preach the gospel. Now he has finished preaching. Amen. A net breaking harvest. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now the Lord said this was in Psalm 103. Psalm 103 from verse 20. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Psalm 103 from verse 20. He said, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who did his word, hidden to the voice of his word. We are, when we speak God's word, we give voice to his word. Angels listen, they hearken not to your emotion or tears. They hearken to the voice of his word. Are you listening to me? Christian, it's time to be bold. Now, I give you 5 minutes. Begin. So that angels will listen. Go ahead and begin. Before we close. Voice his word out. Whatever he has said in his word, say it. Angels listen to the voice of his word. Give his word a voice this wonderful morning. Speak it in any area of your life. Any area of your life. Speak it with confidence. Give voice to his word. Test and see that the Lord is good. Jabba kasabaliya, tabasubegediya.
Speak his word. Sharabaya kabaya karabaya. Never be defeated. And because God is the greatest power, we shall never be defeated. And because God, Arakababu Sakabaya, go ahead and give voice to his word. Because God, thank you, Holy Spirit. I see buildings on a hill. And firstly, the Lord is saying, you are a city on the hill, you will not be hidden. Now, nobody will ignore you again in the name of Jesus. Your light is shining so bright. Favor is encamped around you as a righteous. I declare your season has come. That's what I see. The house must not be very beautiful. The house must not be very beautiful. But God has put that house on a hill. It cannot be ignored. And I hear the Lord say, tell the people in real estate, if you're doing real estate, the Lord said, your time has come. Yeah. You know, one time I was speaking with some of my friends in Abuja as a pastor. He said, people get into fetish things to do that business. I didn't believe it. I said, why does somebody? He said, they do it so that when they talk, people listen to them. I said, but we have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Do you know how Jesus called the 12? He said, follow me. He just see them, say, follow me. He sees one, he said, follow me. He saw a tax collector. A tax collector left everything, followed him. Those words were not normal words. With no lies, sincerity. In the sincerity of your heart, you say the truth, they will buy. If you are into real estate, lift your hands. There's an anointing of favor on some of you into that business. Can I just pray for you? You guys come forward. If you are there, come forward. The ways of God are really astonishing. I just sense it in my spirit. Lift your hands. If you are really into real estate. You know, as we are saying this thing, some people want to enter now and they are coming outside. I mean, if you are in it already, glory to God. Lift your hands. There's an anointing coming upon all of you. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. It is for favor. It is for favor. I kid you not. I'm telling you as the Spirit of the Lord gave me utterance to say. He said, from henceforth. I wanted to say from next year, but he said, tell them from henceforth. My Spirit will rest upon them. The Spirit of favor. And as they speak about their properties, he said, men will see reasons to buy in the sincerity of their heart. Whatever other people are using, the anointing is greater than it. The anointing is greater than it. The Lord through this business will shift you into glory. He 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 will shift you into glory. take the anointing of the Spirit. He will shift you into glory. And so shall it be. You can go to your seat. Lift your hands and give God praise. Can you feel the anointing, everybody here? Can you feel the anointing? Thank you, Holy Ghost. I saw a lot of gold around you. Come. Lift your hands. I'm not prophesying to get you excited. No. While she was praising the Lord, I just saw gold around her. And the Lord said, I've seen the desires of your heart. I've seen the sincerity of your heart. And sometimes when you are trusting God, you don't know, just know how God will do it. You are wondering, God, how will you do it? How will you do it? How will you do it? He said, do not take a thought by saying, how shall these things be? And if you can catch the anointing, catch it. As I pray for her, it's coming upon all of you who desire it. You don't need to know how God will do it. God is shifting you. He's shifting you. He's shifting you into the highest point of favor. He's shifting you. Just like he did for Peter, in a day, he changed the whole economy of a state through the harvest that Peter had. And listen, Peter left everything and followed him, but he changed the economy. They were not catching any fish. Because of Peter, everything in the city changed. He gave Peter an harvest that changed everything. And just as I saw in the realm of the spirit, Lord, let it come upon her. Let it come upon her. Favor her in a unique way that will blow her mind in the name of Jesus. You know, before we sit down, the truth is that God has been faithful to us. Even as a ministry. I remember how some of us started from nowhere and God brought you into positions that you are in whatever you are in today. We saw it evolve from here. We saw how God spoke to us about things and we tried the things and money began to come. Money began to come. I told you during Kabod, I said it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I said, everybody under the sound of my voice, go and learn a skill. I know what I'm saying. Make sure that you learn a skill. No matter how hard it is, if you can, come and meet some of us. Are you listening to me? We will help you. Learn a skill. Learn a skill. If you truly are anointed and a Christian and you have a skill, it will be difficult for you to be broke. It will be very difficult. He said, I will bless the works. Oh, don't just sit down. Don't just sit down and say you want to be selling something. It is good to sell something, but learn a skill. Learn a skill. Are you listening to me? The skill will be bringing a lot of money. You'll be using the money to do businesses. Every big man of God in the Bible was a business person. Yes. And they were very skillful. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They were in business. They were skillful. Your time has come. You've not seen anything yet, though. The anointing upon your life. It'll blow your mind. Nobody needs to tell me. I know I'm raising millionaires for Jesus. Listen, the anointing that came upon you is the anointing for sight. When you go back home, there are things you begin to see. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered into the heart of man, you begin to see for your glory. And listen, if you observe all of our declaration, we did not speak as if the government is what will cause us to enter into these things. God bless the government and anything they are doing. It may not be right, but it doesn't stop us from entering into our glory. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Whatever they are doing will not stop you, people. Nigeria is hard. The government is doing blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. Listen, at the time when there was chaos, Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When there was destruction, Noah was in the ark. As the flood was catching everywhere, Noah was going up. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You know, if you remember, the Bible said, on the strength of the flood, the boat began to go up and up and up. What was capturing the land was taking Noah up. And the Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. How did he preach righteousness? He said, enter the ark. It doesn't matter whether you are a sinner or a righteous. As long as you enter the ark, you are saved. Now, if anybody be in Christ, as long as you are in Christ, it doesn't matter what is happening in this world. Whatever is happening in this world will be taking your boat higher. Are you listening to me? It will be taking you higher, and the path of the just is as a shining light that shines. And what? And what? Tell somebody, can only get better. In the name of Jesus, rejoice and give the Lord a hand. Amen. Let's get seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And so shall it be. So when you go back home, don't act like you've not received something. Act like something just came upon you. Dress like it. I was telling leaders yesterday, I said, no matter what I don't have in my account, I will never dress like what is happening in my account. I'll never. You will never see me and say, I think pastor is broke. You will never. If it is true, my dressing. And I found out something. Favor comes to people that look like they don't have a problem. People don't really give people that have problem money. Look like you don't have problem. Because you truly don't have problem. In the name of Jesus.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.